Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man,
hanging out at Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Athens, getting ready for tomorrow's game between the Dogs and Alabama.
Alabama!
Why do you hate Alabama so much?
And we had an Alabama fan here earlier, Mike, that was like, yeah, my belief in Kalen DeBoer, he going to be all right. Didn't sound like he was that confident.
The guy was looking at his shoes. He couldn't even make eye contact. I mentioned that story to Carl. I mentioned a few times being at a Hardee's out in South Georgia driving back from the Alabama-Tallahassee loss. And then people, we can get Saban back.
That.
He can come back. And I do feel they wish they had a rebate on Kalen DeBoer, but these monster contracts, and it's a strange time because if he loses a game like this, there will be calls immediately. And
for sure,
people like Feinbaum and our buddies over at JOX in Birmingham, they'll be losing their minds. And then I wonder, but who do they want? Dabo? I mean, where do you find that next genius?
Mm.
You know, I don't know who that guy is necessarily. And unless you can.
I said that.
Unless you're going to spend a lot of money to get somebody out of somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, the Belichick thing is also, I've even seen that written about. Like, go get I don't think Belichick knows what he's doing in the college ranks. It's a nice concept to say, hey, we can make this like, because it's like pros, I'll have a general mentor. Doesn't work that way.
It doesn't.
Does not work that way.
Hey, man, we went behind enemy lines earlier today. John Keim joined us from ESPN up in Washington. The two things you need to know about the Falcons, and we'll dive in here before we get back to some college conversation with our buddy David Pollack, and also what Rusty Manziel had to say about this game tomorrow, coming up a little bit later on this hour. First things first, Jaden Daniels ruled out. He will not play tomorrow, which means Marcus Mariota is the starting quarterback.
Right.
And, Mike, you mentioned it. He has been named
captain, my captain. Yes, he is a commander on the Commanders. And, again, I think the way it was – you can understand this. And John brought this up. He goes, wow, seems like he got a raw deal down in Atlanta. Well, that's his side of the story.
Correct.
There's always three sides, as my dad said, his, hers, and what happened. But for those who don't remember the timeline – he was about what I expected. I told you he's a journeyman. There's a ceiling. Guys like him, like Jameis Winston, like Ryan Fitzpatrick, they can have a couple of good games, but they always go back to what their true center is, right? And what he was a washed-up quarterback who can do a few things right. And in Arthur Smith's offense, nothing was working right. So maybe with a guy, and I got to be honest, Cliff Kingsbury's brilliant offensive mind, he's going to tailor what they're going to try to do around what he's got left on Sunday. But they make him the commander because felt like he got screwed when they benched him for Desmond Ridder, and then he basically, well, screw it, I'm going to have my knee cleaned up, and I'm not going to play anymore.
Yeah, bottom line is we have to defend the run. I brought this up. The Commanders are second in the NFL only to the Bills when you talk about rushing the ball. But there's a myriad of guys. It's not just one dude we've got to potentially stop. And Mariota's a part of that. So that's going to be story number one. Story number two is no Terry McLaurin. Their best wide receiver is out. Guys, they could still come in here. Do not get delusional and think that they can't come in here.
So I got Debo.
Exactly right. And win without their best wide receiver. But that is official now, Terry. We kind of figured that earlier this week. Now, from the Falcons standpoint, Mike, no A.J. Terrell. He has been ruled out. Ross said today he expects him back after the bye week. So remember, we play Sunday.
Yeah.
We get the bye.
Get 2 weeks off.
Correct.
And the bye for the hamstring is probably just the thing. Only thing that's going to help a hamstring is rest. So that was kind of what we felt about it. They haven't really complained about Elijah Wilkins and Storm Norton. They'll be closer at some point to getting back. But the line's not the issue. It's the play calling. We're making national news. And great job by Chris Turtle Thomas last night to get Dan Orlovsky on, who did the breakdown on ESPN. And a lot of folks just feel you're not putting your quarterback in a place to succeed. The pistol had Kirk Cousins confused, or at least our version, not just the pistol, but the way we do the pre-snap motion. Remember on quarterback on Netflix? Even Kirk, who's a veteran, was talking about, wow, I've to really be on my P's and Q's with this. Well, you got a guy in a sixth game. So a lot of folks are saying you got to streamline this offense. They're not going to do that. They're saying it's all about execution. You know, it's the old line. What's the old joke from Rich McKay's dad? How do you feel about your offense's execution? I'm all for it. Well, keep putting up stinkers like last week. Folks will say the same thing.
404-726-0929. More on the Dogs coming up. I want you to hear a couple of things from our quarterback, Michael Penix, as he gets ready. And this is a bounce-back game for him, by the way. Mike can't come into this game and play as poorly as he did last week. Then you will really start to have non-believers. Everybody has a clunker. He, again, is starting his seventh game. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. Everybody is, like, tripping off this whole thing. I'm not when it comes to Penix. I have faith that this guy is going to be everything that we're going to believe that he can be. He talked about a couple of things. First, he was talking about taking advantage of the deep shots. We have not thrown the ball deep. And there's a variety of reasons, right? You could talk about Darnell Mooney being out early, and then you could just talk about the way this offense has been operating. We're not taking those shots.
Right.
But Penix took blame and said, look, I got to try to take advantage of this. Here's Michael Penix.
We're trying to figure it out. You know, each and every day we getting better. You know, I feel like it's always in the game plan. And, you know, whenever those opportunities are called, we got to take advantage of them. And I feel like we haven't been taking advantage of them whenever they have been called. And I feel like that's the only difference. You know, just haven't been taking advantage of it. And we got to start doing that.
He throws a great deep ball,
Mike. He
does.
The thing we talked about, all summer long, it's not like Carl and I did the show at Hooters, and we're like, hey, let's make up stuff about what we saw at practice. No, we saw these things at practice. Dropping dimes to Casey Washington, to Drake London, you know, to Ray McLeod. Not to Mooney because he was banged up, but we saw these things happen. And none of that is happening right now. And that's why, you know, and I know D-Led was kind of harping on it, and I think you agree, needed to have these guys playing in preseason to get ready in case the headset goes out, to know what has to happen if in case there's an injury or you got to get somebody else in there. These are things which did not happen, and I think it's a reason why we've looked so bad. Even when we won the Vikings game, the offense was like a Swiss watch.
No.
The run game was where we weren't scoring touchdowns.
Penix was asked about the Washington defense. I was on up there in D.C. today, and a guy was like, Frankie Louvu's going to be all over your boy. I don't want to see Frankie Louvu. I hope that's not the case. But here's Penix talking about what he thinks about the defense.
Yeah, good defense. You know, I feel like they show a lot of different things. You know, I feel like between last year and this year, they're pretty similar structure. You know, I feel like they have an identity, and they've been doing good with it. And it's going to be a good game.
Under is 43.5, over under.
Seems very low.
I went under because I think it's going to be about like a 2017.
Okay.
I hope I'll be happy to be wrong about that. If we're talking about four or five touchdowns.
Yeah.
But especially on our side.
No doubt.
But I just think from what we heard from John Heim from up in D.C., they want to run the football. Bill is going to get to run the ball a lot. And it might be just a combination of Mariota, design runs, and kind of playing to his strengths, as you said earlier.
So let's talk about Zach Robinson real quick because I'm sure Monday we're coming in and one or two things have happened. One, this looks really good and we are pleasantly pleased with what we saw. Or two, you're still very frustrated with the inability to score touchdowns, specifically from the wide receiver tight end position. So how much urgency does he have heading into Sunday? And I look, guys, when I say that, you're not screaming and cussing at guys.
Right.
What I'm simply saying is, I felt like this offense, specifically last week, we were moving too slow. Let's get to the line, man.
No urgency. It didn't pass the eye test.
Yes, let's get to the line. Let's get set. Let's get going. Let's get some plays off. Let's get some momentum. Oh, by the way, Zach, if you're going to do this pistol, and I'm fine with it because I think it works when it's executed, can we do a little no huddle? Let's speed things up and get maybe Michael Penix in a rhythm. Mike, how much urgency does he have to go out there with to get this offense right?
Well, I mean, the questions that were asked by the media and yours truly about, you know, what we're getting.
So you were grilling him.
I asked about streamlining the offense. No, they just got to execute. They got to do it better.
I heard you.
That's not how I asked the question. But no, I mean, you don't have, okay, whatever Ike Hilliard was doing or not doing, that's not happening anymore. He'll be on the sideline. Zach Robinson's on the sideline. So if something goes bad, he can go right in there and he can talk to his guy face-to-face. They can get the Mac Pro, whatever the hell they use, Carl, and do their thing and show on the screen, here's what happened, here's what was available, here's what you missed. And hopefully in real time, that and on paper, that makes more sense. T.J. Yates has got to be more involved in this too, because that's your brain power on your offense, right? There's line coaches, you know, there's other guys, but this ultimately is on the shoulders. Oh, by the way, for Zach Robinson, he might not admit this, if he does have designs on that Oklahoma State job, which a lot of people feel they want him for, to go out to Stillwater.
Got to prove it.
You got to prove it here at this level.
Yeah.
Who's going to want, oh, we just hired an offensive coordinator who couldn't do anything with Michael Penix Jr., you know, who averaged 380 yards in college.
Guys, I feel good. I know many of you don't. I think they're going to play a lot better, and I do think we're going to see production that we didn't see last week. But the thing that I need to see more than anything is better execution across the board from this offense. You are building a season and momentum towards the season to be playing your best, hopefully at the end. We're not even close. We hadn't played our best. It doesn't look that way, and I'm fine. We've won a game. We need to win this week. Mike said it. Let's get to 500, go to the bye week. You can even do more reassessing right in the bye week. But this is the most important game, because I'm telling you right now, the morale of a 1-3 team and a team with expectations coming into the season, and all of a sudden you find yourself behind right the eight ball, it's not fun. So I think there will be urgency. I think they're going to come out and play better. And I know a lot of people, it's so easy right now. Mike, I said this. Vegas is like, oh, you saw the Falcons last week. Oh, the Commanders are coming in. They're going to win this game. They are literally making it so that people are going, Commanders, Commanders, Commanders. I don't believe that. It's a week-to-week league, guys, and I think they're going to come out and play better. And if they don't, then we got some real questions.
Right. I mean, like, especially – and again, we said this, losing to Marcus Mariota, and the Falcons screwed me over on a stick. Come on. That's revisionist history, okay? He lost interest when he was benched, and that's his prerogative. But now don't make it sound like, you know, somehow you got bullied. We paid you decent money, and you were terrible, okay? You're just a bad quarterback who couldn't do anything on a regular basis. But this week – just let maybe we lean on the – I know everything you said about – I agree with the offense, but the defense, we know we got some ballers.
We do.
So get after Mariota. Create some turnovers. How about we flip the field? Defense was dealing with the flip field for the wrong reasons because of Penix's mistakes. Let's get some turnovers. Marcus, I'll throw the ball to you. He'll throw some turnovers. And then on the other side of it, look, it's not that complicated. Swing pass to Bijan. Get your playmakers in space behind the line of scrimmage if we can't develop things down the field, and let them beat a guy. Right? Because we know Drake can beat a man one-on-one. Pitts, you and I have been screaming for Pitts to get that ball. And look, and Penix, it was a horrible effort. He knows it. He owned it. There's no – like, he doesn't shy away from it. He was awful. Got to be better. Can't make those mistakes. The footwork, everything that we've been talking about.
No doubt. 404-726-0929. You guys can text us. Let us know what you think. Hit us up on social media as well. Lots of dog talk on the way. We're going to let you hear our conversation with David Pollack, who stopped by the show yesterday, and it was just really good info when it comes to what he believes in this, what's going on with this team and what they need to do against Alabama. And here's the thing. He doesn't shy around the real major issue, Mike, which is, are they going to be able to get pressure on Ty Simpson?
Right. Both these teams, two powerhouses in the SEC, and they don't really rush the quarterback that well, at least not yet in this season.
All right, David Pollack's on the way. We're live at Grindhouse Killer Burgers here in Athens. We've been here all day having a great time. Thanks for all the folks who came out. Maybe they have left and come through just to say hello. And it's been fun today, man. And tomorrow's going to be electric, I think, at Sanford Stadium. I know it is. Looking forward to a big game. All right, more dog conversation coming up. David Pollack next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been talking about the dogs all day, and it continues here in Athens at Grindhouse Killer Burgers. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Want to hear from David Pollack, three-time All-American and one of the all-time Georgia greats. And the first thing we asked him was about this pass rush and why are the dogs not getting to the quarterback?
Yeah, I think you see, you know, in the Tennessee game, you saw you know, they brought three, they brought four, didn't really get home. They bring six. Here's another problem, didn't really get home. You know, like, so how do you find ways to pressure the passer? And a lot of times when they brought more, you know, it led to the big touchdown plays down the field because, you know, if you have to bring more, it means you have to play man coverage, right? So I think that, you know, I think Georgia's defense will get better. I think it will improve. I think they'll find their guys and who they are that can rush the passer, who they are that can cover. I think it's good sometimes, too, to have a little bit of a bad game where coaches can hold that over you and make you focus more and use more detail. But, yeah, I think the pass rush is a legitimate concern. Who can win the one-on-one battle? Can Christian Miller win them inside? Who can win them outside? Like, a lot of new faces on this Georgia defense. I think I'm still trying to figure out who's the best pass rusher. Who's the guy that can get to the QB, affect him, and make life really hard on him? Last year we knew it was Jalen Walker. You know, you knew Mykel Williams could do that. This year, like, we're still finding out, I think, who that guy is.
Right. I mean, statistically, it's Chris Cole, but you're right. And, Dave, on the flip side, Alabama has got the same amount of sacks as Georgia, just four. So they're not bringing the heat either.
No, they haven't been great. Now, they've had a lot of pressures. I mean, I think their second game, they had 14 pressures and zero sacks, which is really hard to do. But they're more of a, like, they're more of a zone coverage team. They're not super aggressive. Like, that's just kind of who they are now as a squad and what their defense is, you know, post Nick Saban. But no, they've got some guys too that, you know, Big Tim in the middle's been out. And he's going to be back this week for the game. And he's one of the bigger forces. Overton has to continue to play better. But, like, I think both these teams, they're very mirror images of each other. And I say that, and I know that sounds kind of weird, but, like, they both haven't got a lot of sacks. They both haven't ran the football well or protected their quarterback great. So, like, I think there's, you know, this isn't the Alabama-Georgia game where we saw them, you know, many a times, Nick and Kirby, when they were in their prime, and you're talking about dudes all over the field that are kicking the crap out of everybody. I think both these teams still feeling who they are. And Ty Simpson now, he had 20 incompletions against FSU. Homeboy had five the last 2 weeks. Like, he's starting to figure it out. Gunnar Stockton figured it out in Knoxville. So, like, I think the offenses both have a chance to, because of the lack of pass rush, have a chance to become explosive on who can protect their quarterback in passing situations.
David Pollack, our guest here on Dukes and Bell. Guys, talking dogs and getting ready for the game on Saturday night in Athens. Speaking of Knoxville, what surprised you the most, Dave, in that comeback win in the way that they did? Was it the resiliency? Was it Gunnar Stockton? I mean, what surprised you the most, Georgia win?
I mean, y'all knew they were going to go score 40 and give up 40, right? Like, y'all knew that was going to happen. I assumed Kirby's defense would be – you know, the story that they would keep them in the game, and that would be, you know, that would be the key to victory. But, you know, sometimes you got to be able to win in a multitude of ways, and Gunnar Stockton was a surprise to me. Like, you know, throwing on time, he was getting beat to crap. The kid doesn't care. He doesn't flinch. I think the running game, what sticks out to me is they've got a bunch of backs, you know, maybe not one that's elite of elite, like that's one of the better backs in the country, but I think they got – three or four that you feel really good that they're going to run their tail off and get more yards than they're blocked. So that's a great thing. Like, the playmakers out wide are really, really good. So I learned that if Georgia's defense struggles, Gunner and company can carry them. And it's got to be a certain way, though, guys. Like, it can't be – like, Gunner – put it just like this. In his era at Georgia, he has had one quarterback that has rushed for 10 yards. He has one quarterback that has rushed the ball 10 times or more. It's Gunnar Stockton, and he's done it three times already. Like, so it just shows you it's a part of the game plan. Like, they're going to spread you out. They're going to run QB run. He's not some freak elite athlete, but he's going to run it strong. He's going to run it tough. And I think, you know, Gunnar Stockton's passing ability that he showed you in Knoxville in the clutch in a big moment, that's got to give you a lot of hope to say, like, this passing game can continue to grow and get better.
David Pollock, guys, three-time All-American with us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Dudes and Bell, live from the Loyal Tavern here in Roswell. Dave, I'm not expecting Mike Bobo to reinvent the wheel. And by the way, Dave, Carl, all those years I used to complain about Bobo,
yes.
Pollock got an earful. I had nothing to complain about Bobo up in Knoxville. Would he take anything from Gus Malzahn's game plan? Because Castellanos and some of that read option had Alabama going sideways.
Yeah, I would love to say yes, but you ain't got that freak. I mean, Tommy is a like, you can play touch football in an elevator with Tommy and lose. Like, that dude is just, you know, free rushers coming off the edge. They couldn't even put a hand on him. So, you know, different type of, like, you're going to see the zone read. Now, here's what I'm seeing from Georgia. Georgia's offense looks to me like it's got a little bit of elements of Todd Monken at Baltimore and the way he uses Lamar Jackson. I'd be willing to bet that Bobo's talked to Todd Monken a little bit. And how have you used Lamar's feet? How do you design that? Because they don't want to live in it in the NFL either. Like, you want a minor in it. You don't want a major
right.
in it. And so I think, you know, finding a way to continue to use that. Listen, anybody who gripes about Bobo after the Tennessee game, you're an idiot. You're a moron. You're dumb. Like, now here's the only criticism I'll take. If you want to ask me about the red zone play calling, wasn't the greatest. Like, we're not going to line up and pound people. Now, there was also some QB run that I liked, but I mean, there was also the two-point conversion that was dialed up that was absolutely gorgeous, knowing how Tennessee's going to banjo that and switch off, and then but Brant getting inside with that detail and then getting out to get the two-point conversion. But, I mean, listen, Bobo gets a lot of heat. If you give him heat for that last game, I got nothing for you. You're gonna be pissing and moaning the rest of the year because dude just went into somebody else's stadium and dropped 40+.
Agreed. It's David Pollock, guys. Pollock, the dude I'm worried about because he gave us reason to worry last year, and then he's coming off of a 5-reception, 165-yard game with 2 touchdowns, is Ryan Williams. Now, he may not be, and Kirby said this week, you know, the Jermaine Bernard kid is pretty impressive. But Ryan Williams is so explosive, and he killed you last time you saw him. What are you trying to do to limit his touches or at least, you know, limit his explosive plays?
Yeah, Jeremy Bernard is more of the guy that's the really elite, like, running back type guy. Like, I can throw it short. He's going to break a tackle. Ryan Williams is the throw it deep guy. Let him catch the football. He's going to make somebody look silly. So it's really nice to have both, you know, like – like, Bernard has a little bit of Bell a couple years ago when he was thicker and playing running back and just catching things and breaking tackles, like Deebo Samuel-type element to his game. The answer is Ty Simpson is still a young quarterback. Ty Simpson doesn't see the whole field yet. Now, I'm not insulting Ty Simpson, but he's going to get to the point where he'll be able to go through progressions better. But you just got to continue to change the picture. You know, pre-snap versus post-snap, like make him hold on to the ball a little bit, but his feet will get a little bit happy. But if he knows where to go with the ball and you don't make the picture cloudy, you're in for a long night, like a long night. And here's the great thing. You're at home. It's a night game. Plenty of time to get, you know, plenty of liquid courage in you, get loud. Like, as a pass rusher, it's so beautiful when you know the snap count. And I say that, you'll know the snap count. Because the crowd's so loud, the guard's going to look into the center, tap him on the butt, and he's going to lift his head and snap it in 1-1000, 2-1000. Like, that's the way it works. And so that's a big-time advantage, you know, them not being able to communicate as well. But Alabama's run game hasn't been Alabama's run game. I'm interested to see, too, just, you know, if they're going to be aggressive, try to throw the football the majority of the time, you know, how is Georgia going to respond and get pressure on the quarterback?
Hey, Dave, because I know how much you love gambling, if the weather is a factor, do you feel this is a high-scoring game? Or if the rain comes in effect, or do you think, because if the defenses can't do the job, it seems like a lot of points.
Yeah, I think, you know, DeBoer, it's interesting. He's 2-4 on the road. When they've scored over 35 points, they're 8-0. I think this is a first 1-30 type game. So I think it's more high scoring. Now,
okay.
Like Georgia has a chance with the way they're running the football, with the guys that can run the football. Maybe they can possess it a little bit more, and maybe they can shorten the game some. But no, I think it's high scoring. And remember, when it rains, it's always advantage offense because you know where you're going. The defense doesn't. So, like, as long as it's not monsooning, and that's what happened to Alabama. Like, you know, week one against Florida State. They thought Florida State was going to suck. They didn't have no clue that Tommy and Gus were going to come in and run roughshod and make big plays. They get down, and then it starts monsooning, and you got to throw it every play. So, like, I'm interested to see, man. Georgia's got the pressure of the Bama thing because Kirby's got 19 losses, and six of them are to Alabama. Six. I'm not good at math, but that's a lot. That's like 30-something percent, right? Like, that's a lot of losses to one team. Well, Alabama's already lost their mulligan. They've already got beat down. Like, they've been told how bad they were, and, you know, so many people, you know, putting dirt on the grave and showing clips of, like, how they're just ball knowers and they just know everything. Look at this effort. This would never happen. Like, you can pick out any clip on any defense to show some loafing. Like, that happens. That's not a news flash. So both sides, like, Georgia has the Alabama thing. Alabama has the we've already lost and can't really afford to lose much more. And, you know, you haven't seen them coming to Athens very often. And that's a big deal. There's a reason Georgia's got a 33-game winning streak at home.
Pollock, who are you buying in the top 10? Because I don't think there is a dominant team this year. Like, even with Ohio State being ranked one, they go out. You know, I think they're playing Washington this week. Washington is underrated to me. But who are you buying? Are you buying LSU or Penn State? Are you buying what you're seeing with the U, who's 4-0? Do you believe any of this?
Yeah. Give me Miami, bro. I mean, I love what I'm seeing from them. You talk about turning on tape and going, yes, please. Like, offensive line and defensive line for Miami. Like, they want to rip your face off, and I am here for it. Like, I love the physicality. I love people that don't like people. Like, I love them. I want them on my football team. And their offensive and defensive lines are two of the best in the country. Carson Beck being protected, having time, you know, that he's able to flourish and thrive, especially with a young receiver like Tony, who's a freshman baller out wide. Like, I love what I'm seeing from Miami. They've done it against really good competition. They've been consistent. They have a bye week. Then they got Florida State next week, and that's going to tell us a lot about the rest of the season. But, I mean, I am very bullish on Miami and what I've seen so far.
And speaking of the ACC, Dave, by the way, when you were a three-star recruit, did O'Leary at Tech want you to play, like, fullback or something? What do you think of Georgia Tech with Brent Key? And I think they kind of check a lot of boxes right now.
They do. And so O'Leary recruited me as an H-back to Georgia Tech. When I was calling games with ESPN years ago, like, O'Leary, I was in his office. He was at Central Florida, and he's like, "Yeah, Pollock, you should have came to Tech. You'd have been an H-back. You'd still be playing the NFL." And I'm like, "So it kind of worked out okay. Like, it worked out, you know, pretty good." But no, O'Leary did recruit me. But Tech, and here's the thing about Tech, man. Like, they're tough. They're physical. You love the way they play. Extremely well coached. Them in an underdog role, you don't want none of that smoke. Like, Brent Key is 7-1 against, you know, ACC teams as an underdog. Like, that's incredible. Now they got to play as a favorite. They got to keep Haynes King upright. But if you look at that schedule, like, there's no way they have more than one loss going into the Georgia game.
Right.
Like,
right.
They're going to win a lot of football games. And so if you're a Tech fan, man, you should be jacked up because you got a coach that's implemented toughness, that talks tough, that walks tough, that I just love the way he carries himself, and you got an OC that's one of the best in the business. How good does the defense hold up? How much do the injuries affect me? Can Haynes King not try to run through everybody? Like, he's my favorite player probably in all of college football. Exactly. Like, I love the dude. He's my spirit animal. Like, if I'm playing quarterback, I would be him. But, like, stop, like, lowering my throwing shoulder and trying to run through defensive linemen.
Right.
Like, it's just – it's part of his DNA. But, like, I think, you know, the way they're orchestrating their offense and the way he runs that thing and controls – like, they ran a two-minute drill against Clemson to go take the lead, right? They hit that 55-yard field goal. You don't see very many two-minute drills in all of college football. They didn't throw the ball.
It's true.
They didn't
throw
it.
It's true, right?
They ran a two-minute drill. And Haynes King runs the ball like 80% of the time. Like, that's just – they know how – Buster Faulkner is so elite at how to take advantage of you and make you, like, look over here, and they slap you with that other hand. Like, it's like rush hour. Which one of y'all kicked me?
Great stuff from David Pollack, three-time All-American, Mike. And look, he laid out a lot there. The Dawgs have some work to do, but we think they can get it done tomorrow in Athens.
Right on, man. But the pass rush, Dave's been harping on it, and he's right. Which team is going to, you know, how about this? The team that sacks the quarterback the most is going to win the game. Duh. But this one really will be.
Hey, man, we come back. Rusty Manziel tells us how important this win is for Kirby Smart. Coming up live from Athens at Grindhouse Killer Burgers, it's Dukes and Bell.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Rusty Manziel stopped by the show today here at Grindhouse Killer Burgers. It's Dukes and Bell. We want you to hear a few of the things he had to say as we get ready for the Dawgs in Alabama tomorrow. And by the way, we'll give you our final predictions before we get out of here on both the Dawgs and the Falcons. But Rusty, the first thing we asked him was how important this is for Kirby to win tomorrow.
I think it's important. I think it's important for every goal, you know, to win a big game at home. It's Alabama. It's a resume builder. You put it on your resume. Mm-hmm. You already beat Tennessee on the road. Nobody's going undefeated in SEC.
I agree.
Nobody's going undefeated. So each one of these big wins you put on your resume is kind of money in the bank. So when you start talking about one game perspective, it's a huge game there. Listen, Kirby's a competitor. Kirby was at Alabama for a long time. He understands what's at stake here. He knows, you know, he's done everything. He's won multiple national championships. They've won 33 home games in a row. They haven't lost since 2019 at home. It was four turnovers and two overtimes in that game. They've done it all. They haven't beaten Alabama but one time in seven tries. So he understands. I think he understands the scope. And, you know, I think about this team and these kids. They want to play hard for Kirby. They understand, too, hey, man, we want to win this game, but let's win this one for our coach, too. I think that's a lot to it now. When you start talking about getting a game, you're going to get that extra from your team. Like, hey, let's do it for our dude.
Is Mike Bobo going to try to run the ball more? Because my initial thoughts were neither team can really pass rush,
yes,
and neither team can really stop a wide receiver.
Yeah.
So a high-scoring game, or does Bobo, not to be cliche, but try to take the air out of the ball because you can run the ball maybe better than Bama?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you can run the football in a game like this, you keep Alabama's high-powered offense off the field. So that's the key. You know what I mean? They're going to take shots at you. You look at that wide receiver core from Alabama, they're better than Tennessee's wide receiver core. And so how do you combat that? Running the football, control the clock, all those things. Georgia's questions on offensive line are going to be that true freshman playing right guard, Dontrell Glover from Langston Hughes. You're going to put Bo Hughley. Oh, by the way, Dontrell Glover and Bo Hughley played together at Langston Hughes. If I'd have told them 3 years ago, hey, guys, y'all enjoy the state championship game, you're going to be getting Bama in a couple couple of years side by side.
That's,
you know,
wild.
So you got some questions there. Ernest Green's already been ruled out. Kid has started 23 games.
Right.
So the question there, and I'll say this too, I think Georgia's wide receivers are underrated. I think they got some guys there that, look, they went out and spent. They went out and spent in that. And you had a kid like London Humphreys who comes out of nowhere and catches that damn ball against Tennessee and made a lifetime memory.
Unbelievable. That catch was great. Look, we talk about the throw. Go back and watch that slow-mo. You try to catch a ball like this over your head.
Dropped it in the bucket.
Right? And, yep. And the concentration. Got to get my feet in, right? Mm-hmm. I got all the things that went into that. Rusty Manziel hanging out with us here at Grindhouse Killer Burgers. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we get ready for the big matchup tomorrow here in Athens. So I think, Rusty, this running back group is really good too.
Yeah.
And in the second half, I was talking about this in, you know, during the game when Georgia came out in the second half against Tennessee. Kirby's like, we're pounding these fools.
Yeah.
We're gonna pound them and see if they can stop the run. And more importantly, we're gonna wear them down. And I thought the big backs did that. Can they do that in this game?
So you look at Josh McQuarrie, the kid that came from Illinois. That was the first time you've seen him. You know what I mean?
Right.
He had some health issues. He dealt with some stuff during fall camp. I think Nate Frazier. I think the emergence of Chauncey Bowens, the kid out of Florida. He's a 215, 210
pound
back, big back. But I think Josh McQuarrie, if you go back and watch that game, those third and ones and those tough yards, ultimately in overtime, he's the one that scored a touchdown. Strain. You remember Kirby chewing the tail out of Nate Frazier in that Austin Peay
right.
game? He goes, if you read his effing strain, strain for that extra yard.
Get the extra.
Put the ball in. And you look at McQuarrie, he did that. So I think Georgia's running game, look, they don't have a Nick Chubb or Sony Michel. They don't have DeAndre Swift right now. It doesn't mean they can't be good as a group. And I think the most underrated thing talking about running backs is the ability to break the first tackle. Get me third and three. Don't make right. it third and seven. Mm. I mean, we got one in Atlanta, Bijan. It's a top running back in NFL. I don't give a damn. Him and Jahmyr Gibbs, give me either one. Everybody's that. Give me third and three. Break the freaking tackle, and let's move the chains.
Rusty Manziel with us, guys, at Grindhouse here in Athens. A lot was made of the recruitment of Dalen Everett.
Yeah.
Because he's supposed to be one of the best kids in the country. So is it just a slow
– they flipped him late from Clemson.
Is it a slow learning curve? Or is he doing what they're asking him to do?
Well,
in this
Dalen Everett's the one that's really got his side. You may be talking about Ellis Robinson.
Yes.
Ellis Robinson was the five-star number one player
that's
of America from ESPN. He was number one player of all in the class of 2024. So it's been a development with him.
Okay.
You know, he's got all the toes. He's got all the target. He's got all the tools as a six-foot corner. But I'll tell you this, I was there in Knoxville, and I thought, okay, here's Ellis Robinson coming in. My guy, Tennessee didn't waste any time. They didn't give a damn. He was five-star. They went right at him,
yeah.
and it got him on that third play, and he had to bring Daniel Harris back in. These are elite athletes, and when you see these guys in person, if Daniel Harris walking in right now, you go, oh, my God, this guy's 6'2 and a half, 205 pounds. You got to make a play on the ball in the air. You got to be able to make the play. Dalen Everett has really done a really good job on the other side. But right now, that CB2 for Georgia, they're going to get some shots at them tomorrow.
And that's Kirby's thing, because that's what, you know, Kirby, just like Saban, coach of the secondary. So
always.
You imagine there was a lot of work this week.
Oh, the two bye weeks?
Yeah.
I can't imagine how many balls they got thrown at them. Like those jugs machines, those things were launching at those guys. No question.
7:30 tomorrow night, Sanford Stadium right here in Athens. It's Dukes and Bell. Our man Rusty hanging out with us. And listen to him on the Steakhouse, by the way. Every, you know, what is that?
Thursday.
For sure. But
Thursdays,
you jump in there periodically.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
At Steak Zone from 9 to 11, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Rusty, what's going on with the D-line? We keep talking about pressure, getting pressure. We're not getting enough pressure. We don't get enough sacks. What's happening there, in your opinion, and why is that not look or doesn't look like we want it to?
Don't panic yet on the D-line, because at Georgia, you guys know this, kind of the negative recruiting against Georgia, you're not going to get stats on the D-line. You look at Trayvon Walker. In 3 years at Georgia, he only had 9 sacks. The last 2 years in NFL, he's had 20. You know, they want you to eat up blocks and allow those guys. They want you to allow Jaylen Walker, Smile Mundon, N'Kobe Dean, all those guys. Where you're not seeing the penetration and the negative plays right now is from the third down package. Last year, when they got third down, you knew number 11's ass was coming off the edge and you had to be ready.
Yeah.
It was shot out of a cannon. And then if it wouldn't, it was Smile Mundon blitzing from inside. Right now, they've kind of been unable to create that pressure. Tennessee was ready for it. So you go to 2 weeks off and you say, okay, what are we going to redo? We hadn't worked so far. What do we recreate? Mm-hmm. Also think Elijah Griffin, the five-star, number one rated defensive lineman in America out of Savannah, number 90. His reps have been increasing. I think he's going to be a big piece of the puzzle tomorrow night.
Carl was asking me after the Florida State game, how did they shut down Alabama? I thought Alabama's play calling was a bit suspect. But I thought Tony White, the Florida DC, basically just kind of rushing three, a lot of nickel and dime. It was blitzing selectively. Can you get the pressure? But if they got pressure from the down line.
Yep.
So to your point, can you get that pressure from Georgia?
You
got to
win one-on-ones. You got to win one-on-ones. Sometimes it's just can my three tech beat your guard? You know what I mean? And go out and create a – we had Jalen Carter. We had Devontae White.
Right.
We had Jordan Davis. All those guys would win one-on-ones. And then you sprinkle in, you know, five stars out on the edge. It was pick your poison. Right now they're having to kind of make up for that.
And then as far as, you know, the – Wake Us Belzano was doing all those zone reads. Alabama looked like they'd never seen it before.
Let me tell you something. Thomas Castellanos, I covered him in high school at Ware County. Kirby Smart begged him, please come play running back at Georgia. Please come play running back. And to credit for Thomas Castellanos, he said, Coach, I'm playing quarterback. I'm going to Boston College.
Right.
And then Florida State's like, you come here and run this with Gus, and it's on. But with ball in his hand, he's electric, man. He always has been.
Do they try to do any other thing? I mean, I thought they're going to reinvent the offense, but any nuances you think to try to get Bama looking sideways?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to obviously Gunnar Stockton's going to be involved. He doesn't have the suddenness of Thomas Castellanos, but Gunnar's ability to run the football is a big part of his game. They shut it down after he got hit in that Austin Peay game early. They shut it down. They had no run game with him. So you go to Tennessee, he had 13 carries. You know, he's going to have 10 or 12 carries tomorrow.
He runs hard, too. We're talking about
Gunner. He's a lot bigger in person. People are like, is he short? I'm like, dude, 6'1 and a half. Yeah. The problem is he's thick, lower body. It makes him look short. Mm-hmm. I asked him the other day. I said, when I passed him, I came over to pick up something for a fundraiser, and I just passed him. I said, Gunner, why does everybody not believe you're 6'1"? He goes, Mr. Mansell, I have no idea. He just blew it off, you know?
He runs hard, man. We're talking about dogs and Bama tomorrow night here in Athens. Rusty, as far as when you look at Gunner, the prove-it moment was Tennessee, right?
Yep.
Now how much confidence do his teammates have?
It's invaluable.
Right? Because you go into that game and you're like, man, I think so. I see him at practice. Invaluable. I mean, he makes throws, but can he do it when it matters
invaluable.
Most?
Invaluable. And you look at everybody. Listen, y'all know this. Everybody there loves the kid.
Yes,
he's done everything the right way. Those players love him. Those coaches love him. At the end of the day, you have to do it on Saturdays. And he hadn't really shown yet. He's had a half against Texas and kind of battled against Notre Dame, did what he did. He hadn't shown that. So when you walk in and you're down 21-7, and then you're down 38-30, I saw Gunner after the game in the locker room, and you see him, like the look in his eye, and you hear those people. You cannot buy the respect that he earned that night. Now, all the questions answered for him, they're not. There's still questions on Gunner. He's still got to have intermediate passing game, decision-making, those types of things. But the respect to say, I'm going to stand in that huddle, and these 10 other dudes believe I can get it done, that's invaluable.
We are going to see tomorrow right here in Athens. It's Dukes and Bell. We got to get out of here, guys, and clear our throat.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.